is Tim Murdoch. You're listening to White Rabbit Radio's interview series, Endgame Exotica. Today we have on a returning guest, Mr. Brad Griffin, via phone. How you doing today, Brad?
Doing good, Tim. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. It's getting nice and warm in the north, and Trump's getting ready to heat up the planet. Or he keeps heating up the planet. I guess it's already heated.
Yeah, it feels like midsummer down here in Georgia. Where I'm at today.
Is it 80 yet?
Feels like it. I'm not sure exactly. I haven't looked at the temperature, but it feels like it.
It's in its 50s up here. It's nice.
Yeah, it cooled down. It was really hot, then it cooled down. It always does this, though. So.
Yeah, it's typical March in front of Easter.
Weather's playing tricks on us, but lot to talk about, huh?
Yeah, there is a lot to talk about. I see you said we've won for the third time today.
I just told you before we came on. I was letting you know we've won again.
Look at your timeline. We are getting very close to meeting our objectives. This is the Trump. The Trump is speaking. As we consider winding down our great military efforts in the Middle East with respect to the terrorist regime of Iran, he completely degraded Iranian missile capabilities, launcher, and everything else pertaining to them. They're kind of still firing those. They're pretty accurate, too.
Yeah. 0% is causing a lot of trouble.
Yeah, 0% is. The flaw in their particular argument is that they're saying, well, they're not firing as many, but if you can spread 80 bomblets over 8 kilometers and whatever it is, it's like some broad area, or wipe out a whole entire block in Jerusalem or Israel, do you really need to fire 100 Scud missiles or something? No.
No.
So, let's see, eliminating Air Force and Navy. They obviously are blowing up a lot of stuff. Destroying Iran's defense industrial base. I'm guessing they have so much stuff deep underneath those mountains. The Germans have been building stuff there for eons, and the Germans can build. Never allowing Iran to get even close to nuclear capability. Oh, God, I wouldn't hold my breath there.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, all this is about all the nuclear, the enriched nuclear fuel that, you know, they blew up last year is buried underneath all that rubble. Are we supposed to go in and get that, I take that back. We won 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. We've won three times today. It's almost, but all that nuclear material is supposedly still there. I mean, I don't see how they bombed those facilities last year.
I'm reading everyone who dismissed the right as controlled by Jews has been proven correct by this. I'm reading this.
I had just tweeted. That guy's Nick Land, the neo-reactionary guy. Apparently, that's his account.
Bottom line is, JQ obsessives are functionally hard left. Alt-right demonstrated this. Groypers confirmed this. This is like if you're anti-Zionist, you've got to be. What are they calling the alt-right now? They're calling it.
Dissident right?
No, not the dissident right. They're calling it, what the hell are they calling it? They got some lame smear that doesn't work.
The retard right.
No, not the retard right. They're calling the racial left or something like that. I don't know. It's like.
I haven't seen it.
That Jordan Peterson's buddy came up with.
The woke right.
The woke right.
Woke right, yes.
It's a lame.
Yeah, I tweeted that out because I was, you know, what I was reacting today was what another $1 trillion wiped off the stock market, and I was, you know, actually sent all stock market gains since Trump came into office have been eliminated as of today, and I saw that and like I quote tweeted that guy because there's really no other theory of Trump that makes sense, you know. The rich are like losing money. Rich are losing badly in the stock market because of all this. The poor in the
The stock market is. I mean, if you look at a long term chart of the stock market, it's still pretty high. He's not. I remember when Trump, one of the things I remember the guy saying is that he doesn't care about the stock market in the short to intermediate term, and that could be true. They obviously he's going by some elite strategy. He's
Yeah,
very neocon.
when he says he doesn't, it's true. It's absolutely true that the stock market, goes up and down. But also, like, there's a, the huge problem that the whole U.S. economy is based on the petrodollar, right? Petrodollar is based on our alliance with the Gulf Arab states, the GCC, as they call it. And that alliance is based on providing security for all their, all the oil, the spice must flow, all the oil to flow out of the Persian Gulf. And we've proven, number one, that we don't control, the Persian Gulf. And number two, we can't protect them and all their infrastructure from being blown up by Iran for Israel. So,
We can't protect Israel.
yeah. So yes, it's true the stock market goes up and down. But what if this war obliterates the? What if Israel escalates again, like they've already done twice, and Iran retaliates and blows up all the oil infrastructure in the Persian Gulf, and Qatar and Bahrain and UAE and Saudi Arabia, Kuwait. What happens then? Maybe the stock market, like, doesn't just, bounce up, bouncy, bouncy up and down. Maybe it really goes south.
Well, they're planning on a great deal of turmoil as we go from a unipolar world with a single reserve status currency to three or four reserve status currencies, probably three, the euro, the dollar, and the Chinese yuan, renminbi.
Yeah, last thing, I don't know if you saw it, but the last thing that Trump said before we came on the air was, it's we don't need the Strait of Hormuz. We don't need to control the Persian Gulf. We can let other countries,
He's jawboning. He's trying to scare allies and
we can let other countries control that. Presumably, I guess presumably they want the oil to back the yuan or the euro. Let them handle it, right?
well, it's actually all the commodities of the world are priced in dollars, and there's been a move over the past year pretty aggressively for the repricing of silver, not only silver but gold. Everyone's looking at the Chinese pricing of it, so that is a pretty dangerous move. But at the same time, these are things that they can figure on in the intermediate term to long term. They probably have a few moves left, maybe. I don't know what could go wrong for them. A lot. MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, was one of the big actors behind the scenes, supposedly, according to the articles like
I
Financial
saw
Times, stuff like
that,
that. Supposedly he is behind the scenes. He's been pushing for, basically, was pushing for the war, which of course the Arab Street has long maintained that the whole entire Sunni leadership, the Abraham Accords, weren't just they weren't Sunni Muslims. They were secretly Jews, which is kind of interesting. And so anyway, so MBS was with Israel, and they're always with Israel behind the scenes. It seems like Saudi Arabia. Some people think they're like blackmailed like Trump, but who knows the truth? These guys usually have they have material on each other in some kind of mutual suicide pact. You know what I mean? Who knows how what it's like up there, other than it's bad and disgusting, the Epstein class. But he's been pushing for this, but I don't know that they thought it would be this bad.
Oh yeah, I'm getting the sense. I'm definitely getting the sense that the Israelis were all for this. They were the ones who relentlessly pushed. They're the whole cause of this. And it seems to me that underpinning this whole operation and this whole belief was the idea that, especially with Trump, they could just go in there over the weekend and decapitate the regime, and it would fall apart, and all the people would rise up like in a Hollywood movie after the evil Ayatollah has been killed, and they would overthrow the government, and then Iran would be our ally, and it would all be over by the times markets open like at the beginning of March. And it seems to me that the fatal mistake here, I think, is the Israelis had a radically overestimated the power of the U.S. military, both to do this and to protect them as well. And now that they've really stepped in it, no one has really a good way to bring the resolve the situation.
Well, no,
I know
they'll.
we've tried like 50 times. We've already tried 50 times to, call a ceasefire.
They'll go
The
the
Iranians aren't picking up the
distance.
phone.
They'll go the distance. They might not be able to stop. They don't seem to be able to. They're going to try to overthrow the regime by any means necessary. And they've already paid this high of a cost. So they're going to do what's ever necessary for the next step. And that might be unbelievably ugly. If it involves false flags, and it could, and it involves boots on the ground, the only thing I would say that they would be debating behind the scenes is, I mean, every day Netanyahu's coming out saying he doesn't control Trump. It's unprecedented for a world leader to have to come out and say the things he's saying, or that he's not
Every
dead and
day.
all this weird shit.
That's because the whole world the easiest way to make money on the internet is to spread rumors that Netanyahu's has died. He's that unpopular worldwide.
Yeah.
There's actually a whole grift industry on spreading rumors of his death. Like, thank God that guy's dead. That would come as a relief to billions of people.
I wonder what his approval ratings are globally. We're looking at Trump's, you just put out the interactive polls, it looks like a little bit ago from Daily Mail.
That's one of them. One of many polls I've seen. It's the lowest
58%.
he's had. It's the lowest he's been in their poll, but their poll tends to be one of his most favorable ones, if I'm not mistaken.
58% disapprove. That's bad.
I've seen numbers that something like 60% of independents, like 60 to 70% of independents, disapprove. That's crushing numbers.
Those boomers ain't gonna be
Crushing
happy
numbers.
with those big 401ks either. That is one thing. They look at those balances and they want stocks to go up, and they've got to buy another $1.5 million RV. Are they going to do that?
I'm sure you've heard it a million times. I don't care. That doesn't affect me.
Yeah.
That's their theory. That's their theory of the world. Their theory of the world is they like to see stuff blown up on Fox News, and I don't care. That doesn't affect me. Or another classic is, I'm glad I won't be here to see it.
Yeah, that's the
That's
famous Teddy
another one.
Kennedy line in 92 GQ when talking about the changes in the 1965 Immigration Act and the changes he saw coming. He's like, it shouldn't be made it like, I forget his exact words, but he ended it with, I'm glad I won't be here to see it. It's the one thing I remember. But intriguing.
My overall take on this, of course, is Trump is, completely, obviously, completely blown his presidency to smithereens with this. There's no coming back from this. There's no recovering from this. He's not gonna, shake it off and pivot and get back to normal. Even if this war ended today, even if a magic wand was waving, it ended today. All the damage from this, all the supply disruptions from this would ricochet for years through the economy, just like the Biden inflation did. We hadn't even begun to see it.
Yeah, oil, with oil this high, inflation's going to rip. It's already ripping. It's up. I mean, what is crazy
The wave's
about,
coming on the horizon. The wave's coming at us on the horizon. We can see it.
to go back to the
But
financial topic, I will tell you something that is unique. If you told me this war would be happening and the U.S. bond market would be down, interest rates would be going up. Usually, when there's a disaster and there's a problem in the stock market, the bond market goes up. Right, people flight to quality, people buy bonds, driving down interest rates. Now, of course, bonds are having to reprice in higher inflation, so the bond market is in a nosedive. And it's like everything in the planet is going down except oil. literally everything on the planet is going down with the exception of damn oil. And that is a doomsday scenario that is extremely dangerous. Because what it does is it crushes the it crushes everything, basically.
Yep.
You know, that's where the spiral comes in. But we're live with Brad Griffin from Occidental Descent, prolific writer over the years in the American white nationalist scene, some would say, or just a pro-white Southern American. go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I voted for this.
I don't think you actually got to get
that out of the way. Yeah, this was.
Do you think Kamala could, because the like blackpilled would probably say Kamala, this wouldn't have happened under Kamala. I don't know about that though.
I think so. I mean, I don't think so. I don't think she would have attacked Iran.
Really?
I think she would have. I think she would have escalated. I think it would have been some other, like, instead of this disaster we're dealing with, it'd be something else. It'd be like maybe she would have doubled down on Ukraine or something like that. The libs care a lot more about Ukraine than, which is still going on, by the way. That was supposed to be ended in what, a day? Well, I don't think if Kamala had won, I don't think she would have attacked.
You think it'd be another war somewhere else?
I think the existing war in Ukraine would have gotten worse. I don't think she would have started the new. No, in fact, like if Kamala had won, what we'd be doing is we'd be discussing stuff. You remember when Biden was president, and we were discussing stuff like whether Dylan Mulvaney had made Bud Light gay. That was the classic story from the Biden years.
Okay, so it'd be like Biden 2.0.
Well, it would just been a continuation. There would have been no change from the Biden years. Maybe Ukraine would have got worse.
Her husband's Jewish, right?
Yeah. But it would be the same kind of. It would be the same kind of culture war story of the week. People would be talking about like. Zoran Mamdani being woke, the kind of stuff Fox News thrives on, right? That's where we would be at. But this whole disaster with Iran and everyone, I mean, even when Biden was president, I mean, we talked about this for years that, people were becoming aware of the Jewish question. That all happened when Biden was president because the genocide going on in Gaza, right?
October 7th.
Yeah, all that. Well, you see, all that happened like from a distance. That was us looking through a periscope at all these horrible videos coming out of God. The difference between that and this is this time we're directly involved, dropping the bombs in the war. Right? It's our economy that's going sideways. It's our troops are going to be dying. So that really just like throws nitroglycerin like on the flames of people noticing Jewish control of our foreign policy. It's really accelerated it even beyond what it was under Biden.
Well, typically,
I'm sure you've seen it.
The historical trends in anti-Semitism, they don't abate once they start accelerating. They come in fits and starts. Then once, I mean, we have a new form of communication. We have a lot of people just realizing you have various different catalysts that make it very difficult not to notice. Like someone coming on TV every other day saying, "We don't control your president."
Right. Yeah, I saw like, and what was funny about it, I was right before I came on, someone had tweeted out a chart of like the top 10 podcasts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And of the top five, four of them, where people like he would support it. Trump, it was what? Joe Rogan, Theo Von, Tucker, and Sean Ryan, right? Of those four, all four are saying, this whole war is all about Israel, and are going, discussing at length every day about how Israel controls our foreign policy. And the best that they can do in response to this is, Bibi Netanyahu can go on Sean Hannity's program to talk to a bunch of like 80-year-old boomers and say, no, it's not, it's not Israel that's behind this. That's anti-Semitic.
How relevant is Fox News right now? How relevant? They're not near as relevant as they were 5 and 10 years ago. That's obvious.
Oh no, not even close. But
now it's all these independent podcasters
and all of them. And I don't know of anyone who's everybody's carrying the same message, whether it's Young Turks or Breaking Points or all these podcasts, all these
everyone
shows.
Everyone, Nick Fuentes, Groypers, they're all everyone's anti-Israel.
Everyone is anti-Israel. Everyone is blaming Israel for the war. Everyone is exposing how Jews control our foreign policy. Like I was yesterday, I don't know if you saw it.
It's like Stormfront. Sean Ryan. I think everything's like Stormfront. That's what I say all the time. Like Stormfront 2000, 2000, like Stormfront 20 years ago.
Yeah, like Stormfront 20 years ago. So I was watching the show with Sean Ryan. It was going on for like 2.5 hours, talking about like Israel, how they were behind Iraq, how they were behind this, and they're just going in depth. And that's what all these people are listening to and soaking up as we speak. So.
Yeah, and we've got these guys jumping ship too, like Joe Kent, director of National Counterterrorism Center, resigns in protest of Iran war. He's a buddy with Tulsi,
Sean
supposedly.
Ryan.
All those guys. Yeah, he goes Tulsi. On all these circuits. I thought his
he
letter.
He was on Breaking Points today.
No, I didn't see that. What did he say? Anything interesting on there?
I haven't seen it. I just know he went on. He went on what Tucker, and then he went on Candace.
Yeah, I haven't watched him on Tucker. I haven't watched. Oh, you went out with Candace Owens, huh?
So that happened today, I think. But
you cannot be pro-Israel without getting absolutely fucking freaking slaughtered.
Right. Yeah, I know. It's just a dogfight. I'm sure you've seen what happened to Captive Dreamer. I didn't even reply. I didn't even reply to him or say anything to him. They're all gone down in the foxhole. They all feel under siege.
They're all tweeting out this tweet that the anti-Zionist position has become leftist or something. They're all tweeting out this particular. I want to say like Eric
everyone
Stryker
is a leftist.
Was pointing this out. Everyone that's anti-Zionist is just really a leftist.
Right.
Well, no, I mean there's a nuanced position. We don't. Yeah. There's a nuanced position that's critical of liberals as well. But
right. That's called independent voters.
Right. You're not going to be American first and then support this foreign country doing all kinds of crazy stuff and controlling our foreign policy. It just doesn't work that way.
I mean, when they're saying, oh, they're all leftists, what they're perceiving, the phenomenon they're perceiving is that independent voters, not Democrats, who are all vast majority of them are anti-Israel, even though like their leaders are bought like the Republicans. But independents, see, like something like 70-75% of independents are anti-Israel now. So when they say everyone is like a leftist because they don't like Israel, that's what they're responding to. The whole center of the electorate is shifted radically against Israel, and it's really down to the Fox News boomers. Who are like what 50% of Republicans, something like that. That's who's propping it up, and that's all they got to go on. And it's a disaster for the right for 20 years, more than that probably.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those types of things. but Joe Kent, these guys that are turning around, running for cover, decided to like bolt from the particular situation.
Mm-hmm.
In your first administration, and this is Joe Kent typing to Trump, this stood out to me. You understood better than any modern president how decisively to apply military power with us getting us drawn in never-ending wars. You demonstrated this by killing Qasem Soleimani and by defeating ISIS. Killing Soleimani was actually, in my opinion, dumb.
Part of it. Yeah,
I mean,
that's
that was
a
the only reason they did that is because they were planning on doing this, they being the Israelis. They were planning on going down this particular road with Trump and putting him in, putting us into a war. That's the only reason they'd kill him. I mean, he's a national hero. He's a cultural figure.
Right. I hated it. I hated it at the time. It was, I think it happened in 2020, and it happened around the time Trump was impeached the second time and shortly before COVID hit, if I'm not mistaken. It was very early. It was in the winter. And we're talking about Soleimani. Yeah, and that's the thing about Joe Kent. Wasn't Joe Kent like calling people anti-Semitic and supporting, you know, these strikes until, like, I don't know when he changed his tune. I thought he was like an Iran hawk, though. That's what I remember. That was kind of surprising that he resigned. I wasn't even thinking of him. I thought maybe Tulsi had resigned. That's what she was known for.
Yeah, but none of these guys, when push comes to shove, there's probably material on all of them. He's navigating probably some type of political future. Maybe he's seen the writing on the wall. The question I ask, if it would have been going better, would he have resigned? Because if you're saying that, you know, Soleimani was okay, defeating ISIS was okay, so military action in the Middle East is okay. It's just when it starts going wrong, it's not.
Right. Also, please note that it wasn't an instantaneous resignation. It was, what, 2-3 weeks later? 3 weeks at least? When he decided to jump ship?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it happened and he was surprised by it. And he didn't know which way it was going to go. And then when it became clear, it wasn't going to be like, you know, remember what was called the 12-day war? When it lasted about 2 weeks and, you know, Trump put an end to it and that was that. I think that's what he was waiting on, was to see if it was going to be a long drawn out thing, and it is. And that's when he resigned to see which way the wind is, the political winds are blowing. That's all politicians for you.
Yeah, that's what I think happened here. I don't really have any other explanation for Joe Kent. It's not like he said, you know, look, if you want, you could make an argument that Khomeini and that regime are a blip on the screen in the history of Persia, and that regime might be gone one day, and we want to foster relationships with various different nationalist heroes that could make a secular move when that regime inevitably transitions to something different. And Soleimani would be one of these guys because he's a national hero, and believe it or not, he didn't seem like some kind of crazy extremist. I mean, there are in Shia, there's just not as many of them as in the Sunni side. Because, well, there's not that many of them, period, compared to Sunnis. Mm-hmm.
And the Ayatollah was, what, 86, the cancer?
Yeah, he.
How long did he even realistically have left?
He knew he was going to die. He knew they were coming after him. He knew they would kill him, and he didn't care. And that tells you something. I just don't know. You know, they can go five deep in all these different positions and all these particular sectors of the IRGC, which is not the regular army. This is the more radical ideological part. But I don't know when you can get down to that nitty gritty of all their leadership that are significant on the geopolitical stage are gone. Well, there's two things. One, are they going to start breaking apart or infighting, which is Scott Bessent has suggested. I don't know that that's true. Or are they going to go doomsday level 6 and just unleash even more hell, which is a high probability in my mind? Because these guys have been training their whole entire life. Imagine guys our age. I always use an example historically for Hezbollah, which is, of course, the Shias that run Lebanon. And these guys have, you know, you're 40, 50 years old, 30-some years old. They've trained their whole entire life to fire missiles at little Satan over there. And they've thought about this their whole entire life. These guys, the Soleimani plans have been laid. All these guys have laid plans for decades. And it's go time, and they appear to be ready. They appear to be ready for someone to come after them.
The most likely scenario, it seems to me, is that, you know, Trump's there's all been all this talk about, you know, we got to take Karg Island, and the war is over. The Trump is sending all these troops over there. Clearly,
Well,
that's clearly they're clearly the it seems like they're planning to send ground troops to capture that Karg Island oil facility. And it's because that's where all Iran's oil is exported through.
yeah, there are going to
Although
be
I'm not sure.
sitting docks on that
I'm
particular.
not sure why they even have to do that. Why couldn't they just intercept the tankers like they did with Venezuela? I mean, you could block tankers going in and out of the Persian Gulf anywhere. But
Well, they can't control the other side without getting into it with China. And so
yeah.
you have serious problems. And the Europeans are now going to have to do something. It's all just a clusterfuck. But if they take the island, there's no reason for the Iranians not to just rain hell down on the island
Right.
from their mountainous
Exactly. That's
positions. So you're going to
the
have to
next thing I
take
was
the
going to say.
coast. But if you take the coast, you still don't have high ground. You're still dealing with a mountainous, massive freaking country, with all kinds of different missiles hidden all over the damn place waiting for you.
If they took the island, if Trump took the island, of course they would hit it with drones and it'd be terrible, like, in terms of like trying to take it in the first place. But wouldn't they immediately reach out? Wouldn't they, haven't they said like a million times, if you attack our energy infrastructure again, that we're going to wipe out all the energy infrastructure and the Persian Gulf, and it's not going to be a warning this time? That's what they've said after the last time.
They seem pretty
So,
serious, in my
right.
opinion.
It seems like we're one or two chess moves here from being in a real bad situation where all the Iranian missiles are coming down on all the refineries and stuff and Kuwait and Bahrain and Saudi Arabia and everything, and blowing up the oil infrastructure, and then that stuff ain't gonna be built back for who knows how long. And then what happens to the whole world economy after that? Is that where you see it going, or do you think they're gonna stop before it gets to
Well,
that
I'm
stage,
hoping
or?
Trump may taco putting troops on the ground. He says these types of things for effect, and normally doesn't tacos it, chickens out. It's it, you're going to end up the problem that I see is that immediately looks like Vietnam, where you insert a few troops. Next thing you know, 2 years later, you have a half million there in a situation that. They have underground bunkers and massive amounts of underground food, and they have deep, so I think he's trying to say or do anything to put pressure on the regime to come to the table and get some kind of sustainable ceasefire. But here's the thing, if there's a ceasefire, will the ceasefire last? Because every single ceasefire they have with Iran, the last, what was it, two or three times, they got worse and worse. And this one's
That's why Iran did this and didn't immediately. They've already asked for a ceasefire like 100 times, and Iran hasn't agreed to it. And Iran is it's Iran which won't end the war, not Trump. So I don't know where I don't know. I can easily see. I just can easily see. I can easily see Trump listening to Fox News and saying, "You got to take Karg Island, and it's all over." And then they do, and then they retaliate by striking all the Gulf oil infrastructure
Well, you most
that
likely
would.
now what I will say is that if U.S. put boots on the ground, the Israelis will as well. They'll have to.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, I know. I know. I was talking to a
You
friend
might
on
have
this
the
call
Saudis,
earlier.
you might have the Qatar, you might have the whole entire Middle East because I mean,
And you see, all these wars start out like this.
sure.
I was talking to a friend about this, and it's like, you go back and you look at World War One, they all thought it would be over, over in a few months or, a few weeks. Just the it wasn't when they stumbled into that, no one expected it to be what it was, and it ended up turning out to be. And it seems like we've blundered into something similar. Like you were saying, you could start out by taking Karg Island. Next thing you know, there's 500,000 troops fighting in the mountains of Iran.
Well, I see whatever they do, first off, boots on the ground is probably going to be a colossal failure. unless they get lucky. It's likely to
That's
be a
what per
debacle because they've had very intelligent Russians. They have, you know, you're dealing with a group of men that have a single vision of the past, a single vision of the future, that have trained with the Chinese and the Russians for this particular event. And they appear to
What
be well equipped.
one thing, yeah, one thing is definitely is not going to be is Iraq or Afghanistan. In that, if you remember Iraq and Afghanistan, it was within the matter of months, we had taken over the whole country, right? We had wiped out the military, we were in charge, we were, it was months before Iraq went, haywire.
Now,
And
drones have totally changed warfare, that's for sure, forever.
don't we have our, we have one aircraft carrier which has retreated to, I think, Greece, Crete, because a fire, they say a fire broke out or something on board. They had to leave. And the other one is like hiding like hundreds of miles away off the coast of what is it? Yemen or something like that.
Yeah, but this is all
Down there.
predictable. This was all predict. It was 100% predicted, with the weapons that Iran was saying they were producing, which they produced, and they've also have help. They've had help, of course, and they've helped. Let's not forget that they sent their drones to Russia. Everyone wants their drones. U.S. is now making the same drones. So this is the only thing that we haven't seen yet is for someone to put robots on the ground. Well, actually, yes, because robots are now on the front lines. Humanoid robots are going to be fighting on the front lines in Ukraine. So that will
Terminator,
be when you have Terminators going at it and you just have a bunch of video gamers controlling everything. You know, robot plane, you're not going to have pilots. You're going to have maybe one or two pilots, then a bunch of drone planes. You're going to have all kinds of different levels of drones and robots going to war. That's the
Question for
next
you.
stage, I guess. But we're not there yet. Now you're talking about Marines.
What do you think? We've talked about the military consequences, the economic, but what do you think about the political consequences of this decision to do this? How do you think that
Well,
changes
here's the
everything?
thing. I'm not comfortable even knowing about what are the actual casualties right now. Because every time, and they all look to be
It was
legit.
updated.
Because
It was updated today. It was
no,
updated. It was like they said, go ahead.
I'm talking about the real number. Because every time I turn around, you have some missile precisely hitting these places that are supposed to house U.S. intelligence and U.S. like elite soldiers, not like, you know, we're talking about white dudes. You know, they're pinpointing. They're hitting them in Dubai. They're supposedly hitting them in Qatar. They're hitting them everywhere with pinpoint precision. Supposedly because they got information from Iran and China. And hell, if China's letting them access their satellites, they're going to be smart enough to do that themselves and to figure it out. So, what are the real casualties here?
That's a great question. As of this afternoon, they had an update, and I think it's like I think they said it was over three. There was a report from ABC, and it said there was over 300 casualties, I think, and over half were quote traumatic brain injuries is what is how they phrased it. Not dead, they just have traumatic brain injuries, like at let's say 150 out of 300.
That's got to be bullshit. It's got to be higher. If that's all, it's lucky. I'm looking right now. American casualties.
It was down my timeline. I saw it and I retweeted it. It was they said, yeah, it said traumatic brain injuries is what they had. They didn't specify.
You've seen the missile attacks and the plenty of them. I thought maybe this is AI, but many of them turned out to be accurate. That's an actual missile attack on supposedly where there's U.S. personnel. Why else would you hit some big building unless it was intelligence services or something critical for your enemy? And their pinpoint precision on various different bases over. I mean, they destroyed every single base. They destroyed all the radar terminals and many of these places around it. And so they had to have hurt more than that. Well, what are they saying? What is the actual number of hurt soldiers, though? They're saying 300 dead. What is wounded?
It wasn't dead. It was the number was like casualty, so it wasn't like dead. It was I think the official number is still like 13. 13 dead. Oh, by the way, did you see one of the kids who crashed on the One of the kids who crashed on that plane in Iraq was actually from here in Auburn, Alabama. Had a wife and, what, two young kids? Right here. Died in Iraq on that plane crash. Now, they say it's like 300 injuries, and half of those are traumatic brain injuries, this last I heard. But I don't buy that. I don't really buy that number. I think they're slow walking it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a lot worse, like slow walking the updates. But that'd be great. That'd be great if it was just like, you know, paranoia on my part. You know,
we can't shut our eyes to the obvious role and influence of Zionism in our government oath keepers. Holy shit! It's the sign of the apocalypse.
the oath keepers are riding out. The Oath Keepers are riding against the Jews. That's the level of.
That's a tidal wave.
The level of mind-bending reality that we're in. It's like they finally figured it out after 10 years.
U.S. inflation numbers have surged as high as level than 2023. That's disastrous. It's already everything's so expensive already.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going down your timeline looking around.
Yeah, I flagged a lot of stuff. It's just like a tsunami of news last.
Yeah, they're going to have to. The only way out of this is to try to reset everything. I'm just waiting for them to start some type of crazy civil war or something. I don't buy that they're going to hold an election. I just don't buy that they want to hold a normal election in America. Yeah, it's just disastrous for Republicans, disastrous for Trump. I mean, you basically have the other side saying they're going to put everyone on trial.
Yeah, this is. I mean, I saw someone I respect joking yesterday. They're like, well, you know, Trump's enjoying his last year in office. His last year being in office because, you know, the election is going to. And not only are they going to lose the house, he was already going to get impeached because they were losing the house, right?
Right.
It was already bad because they were probably going to lose the Senate too, but. If you think of the back end of the year with all this inflation hitting and stuff, it could be bad enough where you have enough Democrat wins in the Senate, plus squishy Republicans who have never liked Trump, like what Bill Cassidy and Susan Collins and all these people. They might vote to convict him. So
yeah, the only way around that is a false flag and expand the war rapidly, or not hold an election. Don't put it past them. I don't know
how he would really have to try something, even in the Civil War we had elections. But I don't know. he'll try to come up
with. We're not in a functioning country. And you're in the actual Israelis have to be in a panic over the polls and everything. It's just bad news.
You see, I mean when I voted for Trump and stuff, like I said, I thought it could go one of two ways. Either he would get in office, and he wouldn't accomplish all of his agenda. He wouldn't make America great again, but he'd do a few good things. And the first year, that kind of held out, in that, you know, he closed the border, illegal immigration. He scored a few wins, right? That was the positive case for Trump. The negative case for Trump was that, you know, if he would get elected, it would be an absolute disaster. And it would be such a disaster that it would radicalize millions of people. And either way, he wouldn't be able to run again because, you know, he's banned under the Constitution. Although I've heard scenarios where he could get around that and try to run for a third term. I don't think it'll happen, but.
Well, he's got that global peace initiative where he's the chairman emerite forever.
Oh, the board of peace.
Where he's like a global deal.
Yeah. We're definitely on door number two now, though, with Trump, in that, you know, it's turning out to be a generational defining disaster, like Iraq or the 2008 financial crisis that Miller's attitudes for years.
And it's going to get way worse. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, from what I've heard, I mean, this happened, of course, before I was born. You know, the oil shock of the 70s, right? that's like the precedent for this. But from what I've seen, everybody's saying like that this is going to be a lot worse than that. That the amount of oil that was stopped flowing wasn't back then wasn't nearly as bad as that. And you know, after that happened, you have what the economy was terrible for a decade. And I mean, it wasn't some quick bounce back. It was terrible. And that's what's going to reshape our politics. People, everybody voted for the Republicans for various reasons, and they spent all the political capital on this. Although, you know, everyone pulled the if you were like wanted like the stock market to go up, you pulled the short end of the sticks. If you wanted lower gas prices, you pulled the short straw. If you're one of our European allies or a Gulf Arab
Even if you're in
ally,
Israel and you didn't want bombs falling on you, you definitely did
yeah.
not get what you wanted.
Yeah. It seems like there's only like a handful of winners and a
I
whole
don't
cast of
know. I
characters
don't
of
know if it.
losers, right?
I think in this type of scenario, this could get so ugly. It's going to be mad. It becomes a matter of who loses more.
Imagine being in South Korea or Taiwan, and you're watching the United States pull out all the the THAAD missile interceptors that you got stationed there to redeploy them to the Middle East to get blown up. And all our defense assets have been moved out of the region because you know, we prioritize Israel over all our other allies. All the other allies are sacrificed for this. What are the political consequences or the geopolitical consequences of all this?
Not good.
It's far more radical than anything that would have happened under Kamala Harris, I think. I mean, even if she had let in like another 10 million illegal aliens, it wouldn't have been as far-reaching of an impact as this, I think.
Well, this could be a catalyst for giant change. It definitely will be on the planet. What changes it'll bring or opportunities for change it'll bring to our race, I don't know, but it's going to get dicey, obviously. Just to bring you guys some breaking news, I don't know if Brad saw this, but someone just targeted the old city of Jerusalem with high explosives, major escalation. He's looking at a big explosion there, and what they're saying is Western Wall rabbi denounces missile fire near Jerusalem holy sites. So they had some,
I
I
know they had a
think,
missile land near there earlier. Was
yeah,
it was an explosion
missile
or
fragment. Now I don't, we don't
yeah, I think I
know.
saw that
I'm
earlier.
just kind of like, this is like. Right before, an hour before, they're releasing stuff on this. But it could be a threat. Like Iran says, okay, you want to blow up our holy sites? We're going to blow up yours. So they ended up burning down everything in Jerusalem. All the holy sites end up going. Be
Yeah.
pretty wild.
Wait, what? I saw someone. Did you see one of those rabbis they have over there was saying the Jewish Mashiach or the Jewish Messiah was supposed to come back, and
It was supposed to happen yesterday. It didn't happen. I was upset.
yesterday, Thursday,
I was
it
very
didn't happen,
upset.
did
The Messiah didn't come
it?
out and talk to us
I
all
thought
and
they were going. I
blow our
thought they were going.
minds.
I thought it was going to be unveiled as Trump. Because you remember in his first term, they were saying that about Trump, that Trump was the Jewish Messiah. I remember everybody
He may be. For all we
making
know, I
fun
don't
of him
know.
about that.
You know, it's somewhat difficult to say. You know. I mean,
The thing I'm waiting for is when whole global economy crashes, and there's famines and food shortages and riots over gasoline all over the third world, and the whole world points their finger at Israel, and then Israel and Jews, you know, say it's anti-Semitism.
yeah, I want Jerry Kushner to
the
be
whole
up.
world. Proclaims the whole world is anti-Semitic. The whole world is against us.
I want Jared Kushner to be the Antichrist. That's all I want. And watch Jesus cut him down or something. It'd be a great ending.
Yeah. Well,
We
that's
could.
what a lot of these, you know, Christian Zionist boomers wanted to trigger. They wanted to figure they thought this is the war we need to get in because, you know, they're all going to be raptured and stuff.
Yeah,
like
they keep putting
passing.
out this Trump administration making heavy preparations for potential use of ground troops in Iran.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought he would taco the Iran thing and he went in. I knew they would eventually do something, but I thought maybe Israel or who knows. But this is now going to be, it's going to get hot and heavy. I'm just curious and when it comes to America somehow, some way. Because we've had
every day
decades.
We've won, and
go ahead.
I said every day he tells us three times we've won, but then what was it yesterday? We needed $200 billion, even though we've won.
Yeah, Iran has had enough time to put whatever they need to put. The Irans and the Hezbollahs to put whatever they need to put in America. God knows what a disaster that can be.
There's been a couple of those.
They've broken up some.
There's been a couple of those attacks. Like there was one in, I think, Virginia, another in Austin, Texas. Just random people spurging out. You know, there was one in Michigan. I want to say wasn't it up there.
Yeah,
around
there was
some,
one that
so,
hit
some
a
Lebanese,
synagogue.
Some
liberal.
Yeah,
some
Lebanese guy.
Guy
hit. He was mad because his family got killed in Lebanon and attacked the synagogue.
That's how it works. The one in Texas was brutal. That mass shooting. Didn't hear a lot about that. It went away quick. There was rumors that there was going to be like a drone attack in California or something. Can you imagine that? Shahid drones are flying through California, attacking people, attacking Hollywood or something. I don't know. Well, it's very Jewish.
And the best part is the Department of Homeland Security is what shut down, right?
Oh, that's right. None of them are getting paid. TSA isn't going to pay.
Yeah, they shut down the Department of Homeland Security over the ICE backlash. And even though ICE was funded, the rest of DHS has been, I think, defunded. That was before all this happened because Democrats were making a big. Oh, we didn't talk about mass deportations being canceled.
Oh, you mean they're
you
not deporting
that?
People? I thought they were deporting millions.
Oh, yeah. Trump told the Wall Street Journal or something like that that he thought like mass deportations would sounded bad and he didn't like that phrase and they were just going to deport the bad hombres, you know, just the criminals, and that the number of people being deported since Minneapolis has gone down. So there's that too. Sounds like a great winning message for the midterms, doesn't it? No mass deportations. Gas at, what, $7 a gallon, maybe. Stock markets crashing. A war in the Middle East. What else? Yeah, that about covers it. Oh, yeah, that's right. Child trans sex mutilation as long as parents approve of it. He sent that out the other day.
Yeah, he's pretty much caved on everything. What do you think we're going to get, President Pritzker? Who's it going to be for the liberals if they get a president?
Yeah, I don't know.
Newsom?
I don't know. The damage that Trump has done to his own political coalition is going to reshuffle everything. I mean, you got every one of the top podcasters is basically condemned him. So you could have a huge independent swing towards the Democrats, and that could be enough to elect some kind of populist Democrat. I don't know. It's definitely going to change the composition of the parties. We're going to go back to I predict we'll go back towards the Obama years, where you'll have some Democrat who's pretending to be anti-war, even though they'll continue to fund the war in Iran. They'll lie about that. And you remember during the Obama years when people were messing around with like Ron Paul and Constitution Party candidates and stuff like that, and didn't think of themselves as Republicans. That's what we're going back. That's what we're going back to the next 2 years. So we'll have Democrats in control. No one's going to want to vote for the GOP after this. And we'll be digging out of this mess for who knows how many years.
No, it's not over with yet. It's just the beginning.
That's just the beginning. Do you see any positive way that Trump could turn this around to his advantage?
Would have to be something extraordinary where he rolls into this Pavlovi character that the Iranians supposedly don't even like, takes over Iran and stabilizes the Middle East, and then of course you're going to have a massive rebuilding effort. Then that's going to be considered a boom and good for the stonks. I mean, all these Arab sheiks in that Sunni side, all these ones getting hit, wanted the war. That's why Iran's hitting them. You know, they wanted this behind the scenes, and they're getting exactly what they asked for. The question is, how long can Iran hold out? Some of those elements are going to be a long time. How many, is there any breakaway? I mean, is Scott Bessent correct in that people are, they're talking a different size, and there's a plan to rebel, or is there going to be some kind of infighting breakout, or is this just going to be like this? We're going to be in this particular standoff that's going to go on and on and on, and there's going to be fits and starts, and it's just going to basically hold the planet hostage, which is what large wars do, if you think about it. Is this going to expand to Taiwan? I remember Tucker Carlson saying today, he did some interview that came out that he was basically saying that the United States is not going to defend Taiwan.
Yeah, he did an interview that came out, I think, yesterday or the day before with The Economist. It was. He did the interview with The Economist, and I saw a clip, and he says, America's not going to defend Taiwan. We can't. Everyone knows that, especially after this.
Well, that's one of the reasons the neocons and all these people wanted Iran, because if they took Iran, they can block off and cut off Chinese energy supplies and force China to the table.
Yeah. I'm sure. Like
now, China's the only one getting oil. Maybe India as well, out of Iran. So
it's mainly, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's mainly Japan that gets like 90% of their oil, like 90% of their oil from Iran. China gets most of their oil from Russia, I want to say.
No, they get like 80% from Iran or something like that. They get a bunch of natural gas from Russia. Yeah, Russia. Russia sells them all kinds of stuff, but I don't know what the number is, but they get a ton. They have insane deals with the Iranians for oil, but the Chinese saw exactly what happened in Venezuela, and the U.S. takes it over, and China gets screwed out of their oil shipments, so they, you know, plan accordingly.
Speaking of Venezuela, everybody is like, you know, that Venezuela was a key moment. That led up to this. It's been under discussed. If Venezuela hadn't happened, I don't know if Trump would have done this. It was clearly,
he was full.
I mean,
himself.
You saw that the neocons were like feeding him breadcrumbs, right? He killed Soleimani. Nothing happened. Iran let it go. He joined Israel in the strikes last summer. Iran de-escalated and shot a few Scud missiles at the base in Bahrain, and that was called it a day, right?
Right.
And then he went, and then there was all the after that they turned their attention to the Caribbean, and there were all these drug boats and everything, and he went and blew all them up throughout the fall. And by the time Christmas got around, remember he attacked Nigeria? You remember that?
Yes.
It was around Christmas. It was early.
How many countries has he bombed? How many countries?
Yeah, I've lost count. I've lost count, but I remember heading into 2026. I remember on New Year's Day. It was on New Year's Day, and he had attacked. It was in between Christmas and the very beginning of the year, right when everything starts back. It was over New Year's, and he attacked like Nigeria, and this is when he had the whole armada. It was around Christmas. He had the whole armada stationed outside of Venezuela. And he was attacking Nigeria and Somalia. And then he was calling it the Donroe Doctrine. And all these retards were saying, oh, this is the Western Hemisphere is ours, right? Like, if the Western Hemisphere is ours, why is he attacking Nigeria? And so they led him down this path, and it was like one escalation after another. And then when Venezuela, I remember when Venezuela happened, that's when I knew it was over. I mean, ever since the Iran strikes last summer, I've been extremely critical of Trump.
The Venezuela thing happened, and Trump was so full of himself, he thought it'd be another
Right.
Venezuela. That's what it sounded like from the
Right.
inside,
But
and I can see that.
I remember the very beginning of the year when I mean, like for 6 months there, I'd just been steadily like more and sick, more and more sick of Trump. Another big escalation is when he purged Marjorie Taylor Greene and was going all out to purge Thomas Massie for, AIPAC and his Jewish donors.
Yeah,
But
Thomas Massie is
there was one brief moment, which was around, remember when the Irina Zarudzki got killed in North Carolina?
yes.
And they briefly for like a week tried to refocus on like black crime. That was like the last moment where I thought, well, maybe it could turn around, right? Maybe this they've attacked Iran, they've botched the Epstein files. Things look to be like hitting like on a terrible course, but maybe they could turn it around. That was the last time I thought that. And then after then, I think it was, I can't remember exactly when Marjorie Taylor Greene resigned, but it was when Venezuela happened in the beginning of the year. I knew it was over at that point because you had all these retards. They were all saying, America's an empire and we need to be an empire. And we're not a, if you're a leftist, if you're
Yeah, I remember the
an
Groypers, some of the
isolation.
Groypers. Wasn't it Nick Fuentes was saying that as well? Are they,
It
what are
was
they saying now?
mainly Scott. It was the Fuentes was on board with that, but it was mainly Scott Greer. I remember Scott Greer like repeatedly saying, "Oh, America's an empire, and we need to be strong." And no, he, I, he the way he phrased it was the way he phrased it was anybody who was against this was like a hobbit who wanted to live in their hobbit shire and be like left alone and have hobbit nationalism. That's the way they talked about it, right? We're a glorious empire now. The American military is back. We can do anything. At that point, I knew we were, I knew at that point it was over and that we were screwed. And I remember arguing with people about this at the very beginning of the year. And then, as you saw, like within weeks of Venezuela, they started shifting focus to Iran because they had all those. That was when the protesters, they were, the CIA and everything was stirring up all these protesters, and then Trump said, "Help is on the way." And that's when the die was cast, right?
Yeah,
But,
I'm looking at this influencer, Ian Miles Chong, who winds up in Dubai. I'm waiting for one of these influencers on camera saying everything's fine in Dubai. You guys should all come. They're all obviously being paid a lot of money and just to get lit up, to get absolutely hammered. So.
What a great place to live. I saw a lot of the skyscrapers and everything, and the airport was on fire the day there.
Yeah.
Did you see that
I'm looking
with
down his
the
timeline to see if he has another where he's eating. Like, look, everything's fine in Dubai.
Yeah,
So it's kind of.
Dubai is like the place where all the rich parasites from around the world who don't want any connection to their country, all the scumbags with money who want to escape to a tax haven, that's where they all go. That's like their playground. Andrew Tate was
There
over
are a
at.
lot of economies on the planet getting hurt, and that's kind of what I think Trump's strategy is. To bring in as many people as possible to put pressure on Iran, because as long as the Straits of Hormuz is opened up, he knows that he can just drop bombs and play these games. But if he has to actually take something with boots on the ground, that has a high potential to be, again, another Vietnam type scenario that could get very, very ugly potentially. Maybe. There's a few different ways it can go.
I saw what Professor Mearsheimer was comparing it to Gallipoli in World War I. Called it like Gallipoli 2.0 is what
Oh
Trump
shit.
proposed.
Oh no. Yeah. So we have so many problems in this country, and there's so many problems across the West. But nonetheless, the group that's basically being blamed for this war globally is the one causing a lot of the problems. We don't control our own destiny.
One tweet I thought that was funny that I saw on X recently was
Oh,
our
even
friend
Miles
Morgoth.
Chong, hold on. Even Miles Chong was one of those guys reposting anti-Semitism made me pro-Zionist. They were all posting that. I have like 10 of them in, or maybe it wasn't 10, in one meme I'm going to
Oh,
put
yeah.
out tomorrow.
Captain Dreamer and.
Oh my God. I mean, are they paying guys to say that, or they just get together in a chat? It's just bad.
I guess that's their audience now because everyone who dislikes Zionism, which is the majority of the world, is just like bashing them 24/7. So I guess the only people they can appeal to are Zionists. That's it. That's the audience.
So we've got people saying they're going at it with Richard Spencer. I don't even know. Let me look up Uncle Richie. Let's see. Where's Richard Spencer's opinion on the war? I don't even know this. What's his opinion?
Oh, it's like, oh, his opinion or something. I think he blames paleoconservatives for
They're
this.
actually saying he was an SPLC informant. I forgot about that, turning over information to the SPLC or whatever he did. I'm looking at Eric
Don't know.
Stryker's tweet, but I don't even remember all that stuff. I mean,
I
it's
don't
kind of
know.
like in the back of my, after Charlottesville, I'm pretty sure he did
I mean,
something.
I saw his response to Mike Enoch, and I don't know if it was Spencer because his best buddy, his right-hand man, Evan Mc, what McLaren,
Right.
Evan McLaren, who ran NPI, was the president of NPI, who was Richard's butler, basically, right? He's the one who became like a hardcore militant Antifa, cooperating with the SPLC leftists. So it could have been him. It might not have been Richard. It might have been Evan McLaren who gave all the emails to.
What is the new anti-Semitism? Oh, God. He actually did something on this? Interesting.
Who, Spencer?
What is the new? I'd hate to. I don't know what it says, though. See, he's saying Blonde in the Belly and the Beast should be arrested for being a Russian operative because Dugin retweeted her, reposted something she did. Anyone promoted by reposting someone isn't necessarily promoting someone.
It seems to me
I
his
mean,
it seems
should
to me Richard's fault.
Dugin is, I don't know any of our guys that Dugin hasn't probably reposted something.
Well, you see all Richard's catty comments about that has got to be seen through the prism of his ex-wife, you know. She
Oh,
was
I forgot
she was she
about
was
that. That's a
she
good
was she, she
point.
was she was the Duke, she was the Dugin translator, right? Like he was the one who was married to her, and now everything he says, like you know, like being a Ukraine stan is it just seems like a catty like you know
Yeah,
rejection of her.
she's a Russian or Georgian or something.
Yeah, she
She's
was like
very.
a super Russian nationalist. She's still around.
Yes, and he had, how many kids did he have with her? Two or three?
At least one or two, I think two.
Okay, so I remember when, yeah, she was a big time, and she translated his book, and he published one of the books, and now he's anti-Russian. Okay, that's a good
Well,
point.
though that's just he's the one who was close to Dugin through her, not anyone else. I don't know. There is some truth to like that Russia attempts to influence, you know, dissident right and left politics or art through RT always have. But
I don't know. Did you see
I
that their Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, someone mentioned this in the chat, or we're extending the department's reinstatement of return to service guidance by an additional year, allowing our warriors of conscience to return through April 1st, 2027. This is about the COVID-19 stuff.
If you got kicked out of the military for COVID-19, guess what? There's great news. You can be reinstated just long enough to, you know, jump in, to go to Iran to jump in a coffin.
I
The Pete
wonder how many
Hegseth
are going to
stuff
take the
is
bait on that.
the Pete Hegseth stuff is like really rich because I remember like at the very beginning of the Trump administration, there were a couple people, and they were saying, you know. All this stuff about like battling wokeness and you know we need to be a strong military and you know Christianity this, Christianity that. I remember the most cynical take at the time the most cynical take at the time was all this was like a rebranding of the military to dupe people to sign up to fight a war for Israel. And that turned out to be exactly what happened, right? They go on Fox News. Stephen Miller goes on Fox News and Hegseth goes on Fox News, and they're like, "Well, the difference between this war in Iran and the war in Iraq is the war in Iran is not politically correct. It's not woke. That's right. You can fight and die for Israel, but at least you won't be woke when you get shot, right? Or step on a IED. You know, someone made an important point that during the war on terror, during the Iraq War, it was Iran that came up with all these, you know, booby traps and you know, all this technology that like injured American soldiers over there. And now we want to go straight into the heart of the beast. You know, as Christian warriors to follow Pete Hegseth's crusade.
I think guys like this are this whole entire religious angle, the end times angle. I think that's because, believe it or not, there is a section of Sunnis, Shias, Jews, Christians that are all fanatics down this particular angle. But you know, that might be driving certain elements of the IRGC or the IRGC leadership as a whole, as they have this holy role to play in the coming of the Imam Mahdi and the return of the prophet Jesus and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, they're definitely sticking it to who they think is little Satan. Well, I think most of the world thinks that, but so I don't know how much this is playing in behind these nutballs. Obviously they didn't start the war in Iran, so you can't say, well, they're starting the war to bring us into the end times. So we don't really know. It's all speculative. We do know for a fact that the Shia do have their apocalyptic component, because all the big three religions really do.
Well, I mean, fair to say to the
But I was
Jews and fair
referring
to
to
the Christian dying.
Pete Hegseth, believes this type of thing as well, down this particular angle on some level, right?
Yeah. I mean, Tucker was interviewing some guy, and he was explaining about like how like Hegseth had been over there in Israel and was talking about rebuilding the third temple and all this heretical messianic Judaism stuff that he apparently he's all into. Like this weird, extremely cringe, like twisted version of Christianity that's like solely about like serving Jews. Apparently he's one of these people. I don't know. Doesn't he have like some kind of Hebrew tattoo?
He has an infidel tattoo. Imagine you have an infidel put on you. He has the tattoo for infidel, which is supposed to be the Antichrist is supposed to wear or something like that. He has all kinds of weird stuff going on with his tattoos. Hold on, let's see here. Hegseth tattoos.
I thought he had like Hebrew letters as well, or something. It was just it came up during his confirmation hearing.
Devote we the people. You have all this. Okay. There's a bunch of different tats.
I know there's a Christian Crusader one.
Okay, hold on. This is there's the see his underarm, on his underarm, on his right, like under his right bicep is the infidel tattoo. It's crazy. So.
Every press conference he does, he just comes across as worse and worse.
Yeah, but he's there for a reason, obviously, and it won't be a good reason. It's for
Trump
damn
thought
sure.
he was. It's because Trump thought he fit the part. He looked the part. That's how Trump makes his decision. It's the same thing with Tom Homan, right? He thinks Tom Homan looks the part of the tough guy immigration enforcer, even though he doesn't do shit and has been around for 20 years, hasn't supported anybody.
Trying to think of what how bad is Israel polling right now? I know you did an article on that on March 16th, but how bad are they really polling? Because you know they're holding back some numbers.
Yeah, I mean, last I saw it was in the 30s, I want to say.
As
I
positive,
know the majority.
negative
I know
39, neutral 30.
I know that I know it's tipped. I know public opinion as a whole on Israel has tipped over into the negative recently. And I think it's something like 30% support mainly older Republicans. But and that was really before, all this new crisis, this war of the Rhine tipped off, and before the effect of inflation and the biggest oil shock in history, which is incoming. Before that's had the time to play out. So one optimistic way of looking at this is that we've said over the years that all our ideas and stuff were going mainstream. That some of that was exaggerated, I think. But the Jewish question, we were I remember talking to you in the past, we were talking about how, oh yeah, the Jewish question is going to go mainstream. And like we are well down that road, and we're just we're going through the turbulent, the most turbulent part of that transition right now.
Yeah,
What
that's the
about like?
question. How many people, I mean, Jesus. Oh, they lost 15% approval over just 36 months. What do you think it's going to be 36 months from now? These types of things, these types of anti-Semitic events, the noticings or whatever you want to say historically, they just start escalating and escalating. But how many people, that stage, that frenzy stage when you first learn about the GQ and it answers all your questions about the universe? You're reading the, I was reading the Jewish Tribal Review, and it was just, how many people are in that particular phase? You know the phase I'm talking,
A lot.
every pro-white does.
It seems like all the big podcasters are the Sean Ryan especially. Theo Von was saying like they're a satanic race who just likes to cause pain, which is absolutely true. All these people are even Joe Rogan says, I don't feel like this is about anything but Israel. It's just becoming the convention. It's just becoming like the conventional wisdom that
Yeah,
Israel's
when
behind
people
all of it.
ask me, people used to ask me, like, what was Stormfront like in like 2000? What, because Whitaker was on Opposing Views 2024, 2004. He's like testing out the mantra and stuff like that, right? And he was in Opposing Views, and people ask me about those particular time periods when we first were doing things right online, 2020, 2026, 27, before I went with a podcast in 2009, right? That th those 9 years leading up to all that. And what I tell them, what I can tell them is like it's like X right now. It's up. You can get more radical on X, and Don Black isn't around to ban you because he's not wor because at the time, if you remember, you had to really watch what you say because Don Black would ban you or give you a warning simply because he was losing servers, and there's only a handful of server companies on the planet that you could host things. It's not like now where
Oh
you have
yeah, I
like
remember
dozens
that.
and dozens of server companies. There was a time when we had very few server companies that would host us.
It was just a few years ago when after Charlottesville, when they were grabbing everyone's. They finally killed the Daily Stormer, I want to say. I think Andrew Anglin quit, not because he not because he couldn't find a domain, but I think he just. What's the point of having Daily Stormer when everybody's on X, right?
Is he on X again?
I don't think I don't I haven't seen I don't I don't I haven't seen him. I just saw somebody said he was shutting down
Have you ever
his
interviewed him or
webs
talked with him?
briefly. One time around after Charlottesville, I did talk to him for about an hour or two. I had a phone conversation with him.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I've never interviewed him. I interesting enough, I interviewed Weave when he first got out of jail.
He's he, I have never met anyone who's met him in real life.
Andrew
Just like a
Anglin.
total, yeah. No one knows him in real life or hangs out with him, or he's just
That
not as
was one
connected
of the
with them.
coincidences I noticed that no one I know, and I don't know anyone
No
that
one I
knows.
know, and I know everybody like knows him at all.
Yeah. Did you ever hear that he was actually and I don't know how true this is because I used to be friendly going way back with the head of the Stormer team tea party or whatever that was, book party, Asmodor, right? And so
Oh yeah, he
Asmodor
died.
at Charlottesville, some people had said that Andrew was actually there, and he stayed back and was on the internet in the particular wherever, in their particular
So that he
facility.
was actually there, he was just like hanging around behind the scenes.
He was behind the scenes in their particular housing. I don't know if that's true or not, but I always,
I
next
have
time
no
I
idea.
saw Asmodor, I planned on asking him that. That was a pretty interesting rumor, but I'm like, I don't think so. But then again, you don't know. I don't know anyone, and I that was one of the questions I had for Asmodor is like, have you ever actually met Andrew? Because I don't know anyone that has, and I know a lot of people that
Yeah,
were like
I knew people who worked
diehard
for him,
fans that
and
wrote for him and everything else.
yeah, they didn't know him either in real life.
Meaning they never met him, which is, hey, oh, I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Prolific writer, prolific white nationalist writer, you have to give credit where credit's due. I mean, when White Genocide Project would kick out articles, which is the only site we still don't have around, White Genocide Project would kick out these snappy articles turning around like some anti-white news event. And he would post it. He would post all kinds of different. He posted This Week in White Genocide. He posted. He was always one to help out when it came to like messaging. He understood. He understood it. Got it more, way more than most. He's just not stupid. Really, really clever writer, and probably has some differences, opinions on a lot of things. Whatever, but nonetheless, I mean, he's a prolific writer.
One thing, that ties into the, white genocide, the whole anti-white angle, how that went mainstream, is I'm sure you've heard of this guy, Jeremy Carl, who wrote this book about like anti-white discrimination. He's like partially Jewish, Claremont guy or something like that. A Con Inc type. He got nominated for some position in the State Department, and he had to go to Senate confirmation here. I'm not sure if it was. It might have been like since the war started or right before, or I'm not sure the exact timeline, but recently. And he had the Senate confirmation hearing, and he had to withdraw his nomination for this post because he couldn't get through confirmation hearings because one GOP senator from Utah thought he was too critical of Israel, and that was anti-Semitic. So, and he was recently in the New York Times. He did an interview with Ross Douthat about how white identity was galvanizing the right. So that kind of like puts things in perspective, in that like, sure, like especially amongst younger people on the right, younger conservatives, are very racially aware, very keyed in on all these issues, aware of like Jewish influence and stuff. But at the same time, in the highest ranks of the GOP, it's just absolute people who are 30 to 40 years behind the times. It's
They're in a bubble.
even even
Would you agree with me that
yeah
they're in a complete, total new? They only read stuff that their peers are
yeah
reading, and they're completely.
they read the Wall Street Journal, they watch Fox News, and they're all 85 years old. And they live in a complete, utterly disconnected universe. And I'll give you an example. Our Senator Tommy Tuberville is on a campaign because he thinks he's just he's the ultimate example of boomer brain. He thinks like Muslims are taking over America, and they're going to impose Sharia law in Alabama or something. It's just the most myopic boomer brain thing I've ever seen. Then you have the senator from Louisiana who's John Kennedy, and he was on TV, and he was saying the Ayatollah wants to drink the blood of Jews out of a boot. Like, what?
The Ayatollah was actually a lot more moderate than someone you might get in there.
Yeah, it's but I mean the highest I mean two things are happening. It's true that a lot of our views have are Our views have gone mainstream. I mean, even like views on the Jews, like the most popular podcast host in the country, everybody's talking about this now, right? But at the same time, like the highest ranks of the GOP, these senators and stuff, live in their own reality that's like, that stopped moving 40, 50 years ago. And this convincing Trump to do this catastrophic war with Iran that no one wants is the ultimate example of how badly they're disconnected from their base, I think. What do you think about that?
I think that's it's like an explosive situation where you have they're captive, and I mean there's some that are on clearly on prescription meds that they shouldn't be in office. There's all these rumors about some have Parkinson's, some have Alzheimer's, and they keep serving. There obviously is all kinds of different blackmail games going on, and establishment games just prop this guy up another term. There's all this shit going on, and they are totally detached from the reality of what's going on underneath. Back here on planet Earth, the ones that are attached, the Jews, are like in a panic mode.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the reasons all this happened, because, I mean, the Jews can see the polling data, and they know that, you know, the whole country under the age of, what, 50s turned against them, right? And so if they're going to do anything about Iran, they got to strike while they have institutional power before just the sheer overwhelming numbers of people who are against Israel catches up with them and starts, like, really, like, moving, you know, sweeping these people, these old people out of office. That's why they had to go now. That's why they couldn't delay.
Well, it sounds like the Democrats are going to put them on trial and just execute all the Republicans.
I don't know. Yeah, yeah, that's one reason. I mean, when people are like, oh, you didn't see this coming and everything, and I'm like, well, you got to look at that from my perspective. You know, the Democrats have been saying, like, they've been telling Trump that if they get back into power, they're going to, like, you know, indict him and his whole family and send everyone in his administration to jail, right? You would think, like with that sword hanging over his head, he would have thought twice about doing something so reckless. And especially in a midterm election year when he could be impeached and removed from office. And so just the sheer staggering risk he took, I thought for sure he wouldn't do it. Like, if he was going to attack Iran, he would at least wait till after the midterms. Because otherwise,
well, I think the plan is probably to escalate, maybe let it die down, maybe do some things and escalate if he's in trouble and not have a midterm. Try to run some particular game. Be dictator.
That's
he might do something a lot crazier. Because you're dealing with Jews, you might do something a lot crazier than anyone suspects.
Well, I mean, if we take our own logic to its natural conclusion, let's say the Strait of Hormuz stays shut down several months, right, because of this, and let's say he storms.
You're talking about oil at 200. You're talking about
he storms Karg Island. Iran responds, blows up all the infrastructure in the Middle East. Well, if you think about it, that's like the Mad Max scenario, right? If you ever seen Mad Max before, like it starts and it's like way back, like decades ago, like all these countries went to war and they blew up all the oil infrastructure. Then chaos like happened. Let's assume like the economy collapsed, or the dollar was worthless, or they were just like people were thrown out of work, and there were actually riots in these cities. You could declare some kind of martial law and use that as an excuse to shut down elections. That might actually happen. It might come to that. I don't know.
The Israelis, the neocons, they got to have some kind of playbook. Because he's the first Jewish president. MAGA is being run by Mark Levin, who, let me look up his ex account, Mark Levin, because this guy is, he's
oh, yeah,
going
he came out
with
and
Tucker.
Said if you don't agree with Mark Levin, you're not real MAGA. You don't like Mark. He's an America First patriot.
Yeah, no, he's going at it with Tucker. It's Tucker versus 11. 11 can't win that battle. Looks like Boy Khomeini has his own auto pen. They're going after Khomeini's family and sons. That's another thing. You've got these hardened Gen X commanders that they're having to go after that appeared to be zero Fs given on destroying a lot of things. That much we can say. Okay, so he's not saying anything. Let's look up Carlson. Tucker Carlson for president would be an interesting deep state candidate that actually runs good with America. Oh, he interviewed the famous Chinese president, the professor that's being interviewed everywhere.
Oh yeah, the Chinese guy.
Out of Canada, who thinks Western civilization is
I've heard
for
about this
everyone.
guy. So some people are critical of him, saying he's a kook. I don't know much about him.
He went to Yale. He's in the plan.
Yeah,
Whenever
I saw one
I see
interview with
someone
him.
go to Yale and get promoted like this or Harvard, I'm like,
I
okay.
saw I saw one interview with him, and at the beginning of the interview, he was like, "Well, Iran could blow up. Worst case scenario is Iran blows up the desalination plants they got like in Saudi Arabia, and millions of people depend on all these desalination plants over in the Gulf and their oil infrastructure, right?" But then, like, okay, that sounded kind of reasonable. But then at the end of the interview, he goes on, he starts talking about secret societies and Frankist, and it
Yeah.
just entered Candace, it entered Candace Owens territory. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know
We
anything
don't
about this.
know. I mean,
I,
fraternal orders do play a role, especially out of those Ivy League schools, famous Skull and Bones, who, they don't just a lot of them recruit even after. So they're much larger organizations, but we don't know specifically what events, what ones play roles, and so on and so forth. I don't know. He has some interesting things to say. Then he mixes it with a lot of other stuff, but he is the flavor of the moment. It reminds me of the promotion of Jordan Peterson, just down a totally different angle. He is still a universalist.
Jordan Peterson was one of the what internet inter what's it called, with the intellectual dark web,
Yeah, this is a
Shapiro
guy down that
Shapiro
particular
and
angle, except he's not Jewish, he's Chinese, and he's saying
yeah.
Israel is a problem, sort of.
Well, I mean, everyone agrees that Israel's done
I mean,
permanently
he's not really going
destabilized the inner.
overboard with it, in my opinion, but he is saying that
Yeah,
basically.
he mixes up
How will
stuff that.
Iran war be resolved? The three major trends that we'll see due to this war: will Japan become a nuclear armed power? I think Japan already
Yeah,
has nukes. The future
he
of
was famous for making. He was I want to say he was famous for making like three predictions that Trump would be elected, that Trump would start a war with Iran, and that Iran would win the war, and that would be the end of America as a
Well, his prediction
global
was that the
people.
Jews are going for greater Israel, and the
Yeah.
Saudis are with them, and they're part of it. And well, that looks to be accurate. And they've got to get rid of Iran to do that. And Iran has been built
Well,
up to
they did
stop them.
Lebanon, right?
What's that?
They're saying they're going to ethnically cleanse like southern Lebanon. That's just the latest.
They're being accused of that by Turkey, even.
Yeah.
And I
But
wonder when the
Turkey's
Turks are
next.
going to get
Turkey's
involved.
the Turks are the next like target after Iran. They've already said that. They've already made that known. That
When Erdogan gone.
no yeah, after the Ayatollah's gone, Erdogan is the new Hitler. They've already like put that out there into the
Yeah, the
discourse.
chat's saying, shit, man, I made all those predictions and no one cared. A lot of people make white nationals have made a lot of predictions that are coming true now about the Middle East. That's kind of funny, though. We don't get no credit. That's how it
Yeah.
goes.
You never get the credit.
Never get the credit. Everyone adopts our
It,
particular
it, they pick up they
talking
pick up the
points.
talking points. They pick up your talking points and your analysis and everything you've put out there for years, and you're never acknowledged. Right? That's the
Well,
way it is.
that, if you go back and read like the New Right papers, this is one of the things I learned from Whitaker early on, and all the stuff he ghostwritten for people and all the things he had done. Very few ever gave him any credit, but that's just how the game works.
Oh yeah, certainly.
It's like kind of like the powers behind messaging never it doesn't matter whether it's like the president's speechwriter or whatever, you rarely get acknowledged or credit. Just the way it goes. So, you do catch heat though.
What are your predictions for the midterms?
I think if we have it, the Democrats will blow everyone out. That's why I think I'm just worried that they're going to do something crazy. They being Israel
Yeah,
or.
something will happen, and they'll use that as like a state of emergency or declare martial law, shut down elections.
Yeah, I'm really worried about Shahids starting to hit Hollywood and who knows what. I'm really
Yeah,
worried
that's a
about
good
something
question.
like canceling
Why hasn't
election.
Iran's missiles hit? Why hasn't Iran's missiles hit? Did you know Mark Levin had been saying for months before all this happened that they had nuclear-tipped ICBMs, which were capable of blowing up New York City and Los Angeles? I'm wondering why they haven't hit us with any of those.
That may be the actual cells, the dead man cells or whatever that they have
No,
all over the West.
he said they had intercontinental. Mark Levin repeatedly said they have intercontinental ballistic missiles that can be fired from Iran and hit New York City.
No, they can hit
And
Europe. They
all,
can't hit us. I've seen no evidence that
I
they have
know.
a, oh, they, well,
That's the
he was lying.
joke.
He was
Yeah,
lying.
that's the joke that he just comes out and repeatedly says that on his show, flat out for months, that they have nuclear chip. They're Islamo-Nazis with nuclear chipped ICBMs.
Now, if they do have
That's
sleeper
good.
cells, that will be a final negotiating, final
Yeah.
negotiating tactic eventually that we have, we're just going to start unleashing sleeper cells. And I just don't know. I mean,
Yeah.
we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. I mean, the FBI, the CIA, these, well, yeah, CIA isn't internal, but the NSA, they
I
can
think,
listen to so much. They can be competent when their asses are on the line to do things like pull Saddam Hussein out of a hole.
assuming the midterms happen, which I don't know, like I agree that there's something could come up between now and then. But the black woman screaming across the roads.
It happens.
Anyway, that happened. Yeah, that's normal. Everything's normal.
It's normal in
But
America.
yeah. Well, I think she was coming out of the gas station, so I think she was understandably pissed off. I think gas might have gone up again.
We have a tan. Remind me to go on the Georgia tangent, that new law they passed in Georgia, or that the police saying that they're going to go finish your thought. I'm going to talk about Georgia. Remind me to talk about Georgia and the
Oh yeah,
police.
yeah. Oh yeah. Well, of course, if the midterms happen, the Republicans are going to get wiped out in the House. And they're also going to lose the Senate. And I think they're not only going to lose the Senate, it's they're going to like badly lose the Senate, and that they'll lose seats which they're not even expecting, like in Texas and South. I think Lindsey Graham goes down this year. And it doesn't matter to him, even if he did went down. He's set for life in terms of, being a lobbyist. And I mean, we finally got rid of him. And some Democrat replaced him in South Carolina. Hey, stranger things have happened. We've had a Democrat win in Alabama in Trump's first term, and that was not nearly as bad as this dire situation.
No, this
But
is a bad situation. But the thing of it is you can't fix this stuff. You might be able to alleviate some suffering with welfare or help. You know what I mean? You might be able to do something with government programs, but you can't. There is no long-term fix to this.
No, the
That
Democrats are
is
going to win.
easy to.
The
That won't
Democrats
involve
will harness
pain.
the backlash. The Democrats are going to harness the backlash to the war, and then just like in 2006, they're gonna try to keep the war going so they can run on it in 2028. Because that's what happened with Iraq. They won the midterms, and then they had no interest at all in ending the war, so they voted to fund it. That's what will happen. Like, people get mad, they'll vote for Democrats, and then Democrats will turn around and fund the war.
Yeah.
So
Did you
it'll be
see
a
this?
sorry
I
act.
see this as potentially a new trend. Police in Atlanta are
What?
receiving massive applause after announcing they will arrest and charge parents of teens caught engaging in the planned teen takeovers this weekend in their city. Many saying they want to see
Oh, I
similar
haven't seen that.
crackdowns in their own communities. Can you imagine the police going around and arresting black parents? Well, first off, you'd have to find the parents. You're not going to find the fathers. We all know that. The question is, in your knowledge of black-run America, or these black-run areas at least, I guess it's Trump-run, it's Jews-run America, black-run certain areas, whatever.
Yeah.
Has something like this been tried before? Arrest the parents when they screw up, when the kids screw up?
I've never heard of that.
No, I haven't
I know
either.
that I know I know that the governor of Georgia recently announced that they're like suspending the gas tax in order to for 2 months in order to drop the price of gas by 30 cents. Getting desperate, but Georgia's the first state in the country to do that.
What are gas prices down there? I think they're about
Looking
50,
at it right
60
now,
cents here.
it's like right now we're here, it's about like what, 350, 350, 360, 60-ish. It's been gone up, of course, over a dollar, but
I know they're
not nearly
super
as
high
bad
in
as it is in other places.
California, which is going to affect, but California, you know.
Yeah, it's already like set, it's already insane out there, but
20
it
states where the
stays
gas
like,
prices are rising the most. Okay, it's
yeah,
three above
it stays
$3
like
in all states, which is nothing
Southern
compared to
standards.
what
It's
it
always
is.
insane out there. They
Yeah.
were paying like $5 a gallon or something when we were paying like
We're
half that.
basically up a dollar a gallon even in South Carolina went from 266 to 253, 90 cents, I guess.
Yeah, that's exactly around what it is there.
Missouri, yeah, we're up a buck, which isn't end of the world. But it is
You got to
inflationary.
think that that's the, this is after the whole world has released like its reserve. So the whole world has like released
Yeah,
because
we've got
it's.
several months. We're like energy independent, which is kind of interesting. The neocons got us energy independent over the past 15 years, preparing for this. They were prepared for
Yeah.
this the whole time.
Well, one thing that's good is
Wow, all right. Well, Kentucky's up over a dollar. Okay.
the global price of like the price of oil has gone up far more in Asia and Europe than it is here, because what we have, what, West WTI, West Texas Intermediate, and there's the big difference between like oil prices in America and in Europe. In Europe, it's just catastrophic already, like way worse.
Gasoline gouging in California draws a warning. Wide map shows wide gaps in prices between California and other states. Yeah, it's huge.
It was like this. It was like that before,
Oh,
all
wow,
this happened.
we're above $5 out west. Okay.
Yeah, I remember last time it was this high. We had our we had planned this trip to go out west, right? It was before Russia invaded Ukraine. We had booked all our reservations and everything, and we just drove from here all the
It's
way out there.
429, 429, 455. I'm looking at all over California. Okay,
That's
so it's
terrible.
nothing compared. Europe's at $10 a gallon, UK.
Ten a gallon. Ten a
Something
gallon.
like that. It's crazy. 566 a gallon. They're saying everyone's got to work from home. It's going to be what we're going to go into is one of these environmental shutdowns that the shit libs have always wanted, where we got to stay indoors to reduce our carbon footprint.
We'll be like riding around like in horses like soon enough.
Everything's gonna be like Amish. It's gonna be like the
Electric
Amish.
cars. Maybe we should have got that electric car. Although, I don't know, electricity's gonna go up too, possibly.
Everything's gonna go up. I mean, and basically, oil is inflation. You know?
The price of everything is gonna go.
Yeah.
And one thing we haven't talked about, which is absolutely undeniable, that everyone in the White House and Congress who had insider information that this was going to happen, of course, they all invested in the oil companies before all this happened, right? Like Mark Wain knowing.
Yeah,
Because they knew that they were going to like do this and it was going to cause an oil shock. So
well, they
they're
also, I
also
think there
corrupt.
was the thinking that this would go in some sets, my listening to the various different calls and stuff like that if they go into Iran, it'll go like Venezuela. And so that would be a giant boon for American oil companies, of course. They would take over and deny all the Chinese contracts or just, whatever. And
The situation with Venezuela is that the infrastructure down there is so degraded that I don't know what they were thinking, because they did that in Venezuela, but like as people said it correctly noted at the time, it would take like years, half a decade to a decade to rebuild the infrastructure down there. And that's assuming the oil companies just even went in and were willing to go in and do that. But after what, getting their assets seized two or three times before. They admit they shifted to from Venezuela to Iran within like a month. It was already on. They didn't even waste any time.
Do you think Trump's going to put boots on the ground? If you were to bet on Polymarket and the degenerate pallet market
if
people.
If I had to bet, he's gonna do this Karg Island fiasco that Sean Hannity and
he might do
Vince
some other islands first. He would have to do other islands. He's going to have to take control points all across.
Well, I mean, Karg Island is way up there in the Gulf, right? I mean, you would have to get through the Strait of Hormuz to take Karg Island, or I guess you could come in through Iraq.
There's all kinds of potential problems because it's a choke point. It's like an empire is getting pulled into a classic pincer maneuver. We're being enveloped in the Middle East.
I'm certain they would have to, wouldn't they have to, like, in order to take Karg Island, they would have to get past the Strait of Hormuz. Because it's, like, up there by Kuwait, I want to say.
They would come in from helicopters. They would come in from the other side. They're not going to come in by boat and necessarily take it.
They're not going to pull their ships up there to get torpedoed.
They're going to take it a variety of different ways. They're going to have to take some islands and maybe some coastal areas prior. The problem is that those areas on the map are just going to be lasers for very accurate freaking weapons.
Yep. Drones, Ukraine style stuff like that.
What he's going to do is cause maximum pain to the allies and to everyone on the planet to try to force Iran to the table so that he can get out of this without putting boots on the ground, probably.
Yeah, I agree.
But you never know what Israel may do to cause a disaster. It's kind of like Israel's the one that bombed. Israel bombed that particular natural gas, the largest natural gas.
Yeah, twice.
Twice, and they of course, the U.S., Trump said the U.S. didn't know anything about it. Then it comes out that
they did.
We know all about it. Yeah. So it's just all a bunch of bullshit and lies. I'm being told the truth. I just want to know what the real number of casualties is. Is it 3,000? Is it 4,000? Is it 10? Is it 10 high? Is it like the beginning of Vietnam where everything's 10 times higher, but they just lied?
That's what they do. That's a great. Another thing I would like to know is, like, you know, since Israelis and the Jews all plan all this, like, in the months before this happened, like, what was their, like, you know, investment in energy stocks and stuff? Because, you know, they have a plan to, of course, the first thing before they even launch all this is they already had a plan in advance to profit from it off the misery of people.
How short are they the S&P 500? Because they know it's going to go down 10-15%. I mean, it's only down.
And how much money have they made off of it? Yeah.
It's hard to say. Look at Nancy Pelosi's portfolio, I guess. So. The boomers will say we beat the Japanese island by island. This is a cakewalk. Yeah, well, this isn't the same warfare. You can target, hell, they can target that island with artillery. They've got all kinds of nasty stuff.
Yeah, we dropped nukes on Japan, and it was a total war for years. So it was kind of
It was an absolute bloodbath on those islands.
Right.
Bloodbath. Korea was a bloodbath. And this is a totally different type of warfare, actually.
But everyone's... Can you see American troops storming Karg Island, screaming, for the Jews, for Israel.
For the Jews. I could see them helicoptering in. Do you buy... What is the bottom line on the rumor that Iran captured some Delta Force?
I have no idea. I've heard that.
I don't know.
I've heard that they've have hostages. Although, if they have, I'm surprised we haven't heard more of it.
They're saying in World War One, the U.S. was losing 1,000 a day. By the time the news got home, 100,000 were dead. Well, news was slower then as well. So now, I mean, it's going to leak out eventually that the numbers are way higher. What is the number of injured? I mean, if you look at the precision missile strikes in the Middle East, those are our bases. Those are our headquarters with our liaisons and everyone there. Certainly, we have to have more injuries than they're saying.
Did you see that with the F-35 stealth fighter got shot?
Yeah.
It had to, like, make an emergency land.
But it didn't get shot down. The fact that they hit it isn't good. It's none of this.
They've already blamed all kinds of stuff on, like all kinds of stuff on, oh, it was just an accident. Oh, it was just a fire.
Well, that refueling plane that went down, they blamed it on all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it wasn't true.
I mean, accidents. Look, if you put that many soldiers and that many planes in the sky and that many boats in the water, accidents are going to happen.
True.
especially
That
with
is
our
true.
army, it was a diverse crew. It was like how many black guys are flying refueling planes? How many black pilots are there?
Yeah. Biden's woke military.
Yeah.
Tuskegee Airmen and stuff flying in
Exactly.
there.
Tuskegee Airmen.
Yeah, that just gets me that they really did like put all this as like, oh, the military is not woke anymore, and we're just going back to hard standards, and we're getting rid of the fat generals, and then it's like this, and it's and then like months later, it's all because we need you to die for Israel and Iran. Yeah,
Yeah, all
the
that,
rumors,
propaganda we're seeing.
all the cynical takes, all the most cynical takes, that was completely 100% accurate.
Yeah, I noticed that the French were following that. They're not putting any black soldiers in that latest ad that Macron put out on his timeline. It's kind of like American propaganda where it's just like all white soldiers, which is our special forces that the top looks to be all white. Still, when it counts, but that's a problem.
Do you think he'll send I mean, also, he was supposed to send troops in special ops into the heart of Iran to apparently get to that nuclear material, which is like, I don't know how that
Maybe
would
he
happen,
did.
but
Maybe he tried something. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of their playbook in Venezuela, but I don't know. Whatever they say, multiply it by 10. That's what I would say too. 300, more like 3,000, probably wounded. How many are, terrible injured? I
yeah,
mean, you're talking
what
about
is the
big,
chat?
nasty missiles.
What does the chat think? What is the chat like estimating on
10 times higher than whatever they say.
ten
That's my
times higher?
thinking. Isn't that logical
Yeah.
based on the past military behavior when it comes to casualties? Vietnam?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, a lot of these, not just regular troops, but like special forces and stuff, have all these agreements where like they can like cover it up, and like, if you're actually in a special operations unit that engages in some kind of clandestine military action, they can even cover up your death, and
They'll
they have
hold
like
off,
legal
but
ways.
they'll hold off until it becomes politically expedient, or whatever, until they're forced. It'll come out though. Whatever the truth is, it's going to come out because of the internet.
What do you think's gonna happen tonight? Because the last, what, two or three Fridays after, after markets close on Friday, that's when they have the big actions, I think it was, what, 2 weeks ago is when Israel bombed all that huge refinery in Tehran
Well, eventually they're going to
after the
run out of
markets.
shit to bomb, and they're going to have to invade. That's where I think we're at. So you might have Trump do something crazy, or Israel do something crazy, or Israel orders Trump to do something crazy. Your guess is as good as mine. But
Well, what do you think? And one thing, I don't know, we haven't really discussed, but I think it's because it's obvious. How does our community react to this? Are people still like with Trump? They still think he's gonna
I
do
don't
the
know
mass
anyone that
deportations?
supports Trump right now. I mean, I don't know.
Is
Look,
there anybody? Is there anybody who thinks that
I don't know
he's
anyone on
gonna
our
like bounce
side that
back?
really
Or
takes voting seriously. Maybe at the local level, you could vote for a mayor or a local town hall official or
yeah.
whatever. That's the only voting I think anyone takes. I think everyone's like me. I mean, if you vote, you're not really taking it seriously. You don't expect anything of it. You know our votes really don't count when push comes to shove. We're
Right.
just not enough. It's not like we're on major shows saying we're voting for this person or that person.
I mean, I guess there's Patrick Casey is still making that argument, but I mean, he seems like, I mean, even I was saying
I
like,
didn't know he was on
oh,
our
you're
side.
going,
Is he on our side?
no,
I
no,
don't
but
know.
he's still saying that, yo, we need to support Trump because of immigration and anti-white discrimination, and he gets retweeted by all his Jewish friends and everything, but I don't see anybody saying, I mean, a year ago we could say, okay, well, maybe we can vote for the GOP and the Overton window swinging our way, and we can wait for these boomer Republicans to die off, and
Oh, I think things are
we
way
can.
too radical beyond that. I don't know.
I think we've crossed. I think we've crossed.
I mean, you're going to have legitimate white
We've crossed the
nationalist-like
Rubicon.
candidates that people believe in. It's not going to be any bullshit.
Right. No, no, no
There's no
Republican is
trust.
just.
There's no trust with the GOP and these guys at all. The
Yeah,
Epstein
I think
class.
whatever chance they thought that they could, whatever chance, and this is one thing I predicted would happen this year, is that after like, from the time of Charlottesville till late last year, everything was kind of like getting sucked into like the Republican Party into conservatism. And even I was going along with that. Like I look back in amazement, like how far advanced it got.
Yeah.
And now, ever since it abruptly changed, ever since Kirk died, and especially since Kirk was shot, and Epstein and Iran, everything is going in reverse. I think we're going backwards in time. So like there's going to be like a huge space of people who aren't liberal, but they don't align with the conservatives or the mainstream right either, or Republicans. And also back to the time like when we had like Obama was president and people were voting for Ron Paul, third party candidates, and people were extremely radical and just completely written off conservatives. It's going to be like that, but much bigger, I think. What do you think? Like, do you think
I
like
think
some kind of.
that is kind of interesting because when I look at the statements out of the big, there's this she's a Persian Zionist Jewish woman in the UK.
Who?
I forget
Is
her
it
name.
is it is
She's
it is it, is it like Nyla Berg
yeah,
or
yeah,
that kind
yeah,
of thing?
something Bird. Yeah,
That kind of thing?
you know what I'm talking about, right? She's
I
very
know who you're
vocal.
talking about,
She's
yeah.
got a pretty good size X account, well over 100, maybe 200,000, something like that. And when people like, now this isn't American, this is UK, and she's from Persia.
Yeah.
She was talking about Stephen Miller, and I don't follow her, but I caught the tweet because I was looking up something on Stephen Miller. And this is in the last couple months, 2 or 3 months. She was saying, if only we had Stephen Miller in America. She's talking about the Jews. And then the 65 Immigration Act wouldn't have happened, and we wouldn't have any of these problems. Because I've always said, and this is just common sense, if the 65 Immigration Act didn't happen and we were in a 90% white country, give or take, I mean, would me and you really be having this conversation, or would like modern day white nationalism or any, that's all a reaction to white genocide. So she's making a
Yeah, I
statement
agree.
that's true. The problem is she doesn't have a time machine. Stephen Miller doesn't have a time machine.
Well, yeah, one thing I've noticed about base Stephen Miller is that two things happen. One, like they've repeatedly said that mass deportations is over, right?
Right.
It was even in the Wall Street Journal like last night. I was reading it.
Well, it may
That
not be
Trump,
over in his mind. He may actually want more deportations. I just don't know who.
yeah.
I think he might want us deported. I don't deport
And
him.
the second of all, like Miller's all over like TV talking about like this is a righteous war against the
Oh
mullah
yeah, he's
Islamo
very
Nazis,
pro-Iran war. He's always those all those guys are though.
and he's like we're taking them out one by one. This is an endless war. This is not. We're not going to be. Our hands aren't going to be tied. We're not politically correct. Like he was on Hannity or something. He kept repeatedly saying that this war is different because it's not politically correct. It's not woke. It's just like tiresome. It's like what
I
happened to
missed
those
that,
mass?
but that's funny.
It's like what happened to those mass deportations, man? That's why everybody was interested. You had nothing to do with Iran.
Yeah,
But
I just
the
knew that
base.
you like knew Richard Spencer and you wanted mass deportations. I'm like, well, it's kind of interesting. Let's see what he
Mass
gets done.
deportations are.
I mean, even wanting something and being like the lone Jew in Washington that wants something, it doesn't mean you're gonna, I say the lone one because it doesn't mean you're gonna be able to get anything done because you have the system so clogged up anyways, from all these crazy liberal appointments. But it's probably too late. But they could do what my whole entire point of bringing that up is. That observation is by and large. I don't know that all their problems are from the 65 Immigration Act, but you wouldn't have Dr. Kevin McDonald. You wouldn't have the culture of, you wouldn't have any of that stuff, in my opinion, if it wasn't
Wow.
for that. It wouldn't, the anti-Semitism wouldn't be anywhere near where it is today. It's all related
Oh,
to
no,
that
no.
and demographic change. I mean, if there was a good sized war in the Middle East, and in a 90% white country, and the Jews are going at it, we probably wouldn't be
just
paying as much attention.
We'd be living in a completely foreign country, living completely like unthinkable foreign lives if that never happened.
Right, exactly. So she made an observation that rare for someone in that position to actually make. That is actually true. Usually they're delusional, like diversity is our strength and we just need more diversity and more Holocaust education. She's actually sounds like she like has a brain that functions. She's just not like running some particular game. She was having like a brain fart or thinking out loud, and she was actually accurate on the mark. Saying that we, you know, if Stephen Miller, well, who knows if Stephen Miller would have stopped the 65 Immigration Act, but that's her point, is that he would, you know. And so instead of going back in time and killing baby Hitler, they want to go back in time to kill the 65 Immigration Act, these prominent young Zionist Jews. And I just wonder if we're going to see something radical out of them that's kind of unexpected. No one can trust them, but at the same time, I don't know. Can they stay in Israel if this goes on for 6 months? How bad is it? Because it's got to be bad. It's got to be
Well, I mean,
bad when
last
those
I
little
heard,
bomblets are nasty.
I mean, not last I heard, they were running out of their missile interceptors, and they were getting lit up like
Well, they're getting
crazy.
lit up anyways.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them have been leaving, right?
Supposedly, I
Leaving
mean,
like,
but they had been leaving to Cyprus and Argentina, and
what do you guys?
I
I was
wonder if they
actually
want Ukraine
exactly.
for this reason. I
You
wonder.
knew exactly where I was going. What do you think about this conspiracy that they're setting fires in Patagonia to like under Milei to start
It's
to
not a
buy up the land
conspiracy. I
there?
mean, look, Milei passes this law saying that if property burns, you can buy it or whatever, where it like totally reverses the law on property rights of burned property. And then mysteriously enough, you got Jews being filmed burning property. And there's been a long line. I mean, this goes back to even Stormfront days. There's been numerous large Jewish, wealthy Jewish elites, as well as Americans like the Bush family and stuff like that, that have bought up land in these areas, the Soroses, and there's all kinds of Jewish Airbnbs in these areas, and so the locals are getting kind of restless and upset over it, and they had
Well,
riots,
they
not
want to take
riots.
over everything. They want to take over Cyprus, I know. They want to take over Gaza. They want to take over, I think they have the next part of Syria.
Well, no, I
Oh,
think
there's
that
a
they're burning a few irons in fires. By the way, there was original Zionist plan for Argentina.
yeah.
You know, so I
Yeah, a lot
anything
of
could
them.
go. I've heard they're in Africa, certain parts of Africa too. I forget where
Well, they're
they had
all over
Jews showing
Africa.
up from the Middle East. Wherever
Everything
where
bad
was
that
Idi Amin from?
Idi Amin was in Uganda, but one of the
I
things
think
is that
Uganda, there's some Orthodox Jews from.
you study African history, and it's like blood diamonds, 100% like Israel, 100% Israel Jews. It's like the Jewish question. Like, well, what if the Jewish question of the Congo, or what if the Jewish question of Liberia with blood diamonds? It's like, what a surprise! Like, the wealthiest people in the country are these Jews who buy all the blood diamonds and
Wherever they
cobalt and
go is
like,
going to be a war. I mean, if they
right,
try
like
to leave somewhere, it's going
foster
to be
all
a
the
war.
instability and send the diamonds to be like refined. Because Israel has like no diamond resources at all. That's one of their major, one of their major sources of wealth. Like cutting diamonds and stuff that from Africa, these
Yeah, well,
wars over there.
their big new thing is all these all this online gambling shit that they're involved in.
Oh yeah, did you see that Netanyahu comes out and goes, after this war, Israel is going to be a global superpower, and I want pipelines of all the oil like coming to Israel instead of out of the He's like he's
He's
like
getting a little
rubbing
ahead
his
of
hands.
himself. He's got to bring out his Antichrist and make this happen somehow
He's
because
rubbing his hands together, and he's like telling them the plot, right?
rubbing his hands
Before
together.
the yeah,
Yeah,
most
it's going to
hated
get
guy on the
crazy.
planet.
Let me read these super chats and I'm going to let you go because
Yeah, we gotta get
I could
rolling
easily
here.
talk to you all night. Pac-Man, gifted super chat. Thanks, Tim. Thanks, Brad. Great discussion. Tuned in. I'll catch a replay. Thank you very much, sir. Very, very generous. We have the legend. Global chat in the chat. Thank you very much, sir. Very generous. Hail Tim, hail the chat. Did you miss me? Everyone misses Global Chat. He's the star of the show. Thank you very much, sir. Very, very generous. Covenant Soldier, very generous. Thank you, sir. Aaron White, as always. Guys, I'll be back on Sunday. It is probably going to be a lot of war porn. Hopefully peace is broken out and they have a temporary ceasefire and they've opened up the Straits of Hormuz and it's a wonderful, but I think this is going to keep going on even if there's a temporary ceasefire because these guys are not going to be able to quit. They're in too bad of a position. Mm-hmm. They've got too many problems. And you know how it goes. I'll give you Brad the last word. This is Brad Griffin, by the way, who's kind enough to come on the show. Occidental Descent, you can find the link in the description, OccidentalDescent.com. He is Hunter Wallace, a legendary Luther enjoyer over on X.
Yeah, and, follow me on X at Luther enjoyer for like latest updates of this debacle that's playing out hour by hour.
Yeah,
in
you
fact,
guys
I'm
can
sure
see
all kinds
us.
Of things, all kinds of things have happened since we've been on the air. So I'm gonna catch up.
Yeah, who
All right,
knows?
Well,
I appreciate it.
Thanks
and,
for having me.
Stay safe down
appreciate
there.
It.
And give my
All
best
right,
your
man.
Better half and all the young ones running around. But cheers, guys.
Will
I'll
do.
Be
I gotta
back.
Get home too.
I'll be back on Sunday, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for supporting the show. Cheers.